And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith and Richard Perno. For personal advice, visit envisionfinancial.com.au.
Okay, let's talk finance. And finance with Luke Smith from Envision Financial in the studio with us once again, with cameras and goodness knows what. And
that's
it. I feel quite self-conscious now.
Well, I'm quite underdressed given this brace. It's a little hard to get a button shirt on, but, you know, okay. We'll run with it.
Well, we're going to talk about income protection.
Yep.
Let's start right at the beginning. What is income protection? How does it work?
Yeah, look, income protection, I guess this is part of the insurance series that we've got going over the last couple of weeks. Last week we talked about super linking, which is how you can use superannuation to hold part of your insurance. Income protection is the ability to secure your wages and your cash flow.
Mm.
So we all go to work to generate some money, to buy the cars, to buy the houses, to keep partners happy, school fees, food, et cetera, et cetera. And income protection basically just allows you to secure the wages that you generate through your personal exertion income. So if you're a school teacher, a financial planner, a radio host, a bricklayer, or anywhere in between.
You mean a radio host can have protection or anything? Really?
From the public, maybe. You have the ability to secure generally up to 75% of your income.
Mm.
You also have the ability to build in part of your ongoing super contribution if you wish. Some of the key things we need to think about are obviously that you can own the policy either personally or through superannuation, and that ties back to what we were talking about last week with the super linking. So structure's one consideration that we'll touch on in a second. But the nice thing about income protection that I think a lot of people miss is, generally speaking, the cost that you incur or the premium that you pay for the cover is generally a tax deductible.
Okay, so that makes it attractive.
Yeah, look, I think it's something that is missed. When it comes up in conversations and we're explaining how it works to people, and you say, oh, yeah, look, and by the way, it's generally tax deductible in your own name.
Because you often see that on the ads, you know, for income protection, but they don't probably in that little fine print down below.
Yeah, look, exactly. And I think one of the things that I think a lot of the listeners should take from today is the devil is in the detail with these things.
Mm.
It's important to understand some of the key things when you're looking at income protection, and we're gonna run through those in a little bit. But the important thing is to think about your personal situation and say, right, if I turn my income off from this afternoon, how long could I sustain what I do and how I do it? Because generally speaking, I think the statistic, and don't quote me on this, but the statistic that I've read in a couple of different publications in our industry is most people can maintain life for between 30 and 90 days with savings in the bank, some extra little rainy day funds. And after that period of time, you then start either eating into the equity in a home, maxing out credit cards, or running to the bank of mum and dad. So income protection is a fantastic way to secure your lifestyle, to secure your existing commitments, to secure all of the things that you have to pay and maintain to have the lifestyle that you become accustomed to.
Is it expensive, generally speaking?
No, look, for when you think about the value of what's at risk, okay, so I'm 42 and...
Scott.
I want to rub it in.
Used to be.
All of the hairline says I could be 72, but anyway... if you were to cover yourself through to age 65 and replace 75% of your salary, when you think about the annual cost and the total value of what's at risk, overlaid with the fact that you can actually claim generally 100% of that cost as a tax deduction, I think it's as close to a lay down misere as you're ever going to have. And for me, it is the first type of insurance that anybody that has a job should maintain.
Is there an age limit on it? Speaking of age?
Is
there an age limit on it?
Exactly right. So what you can do is you can take a policy out generally from age 18.
Yep.
Obviously, you have to be gainfully employed and generally speaking, doing more than around 20 hours a week. So that would be the vast majority of the working world. Policies will cease at between ages 65 and 70, depending on the duration that you select.
Right.
Okay, so when you take out a policy, you can say, I'm X age and I'd like to be covered up to this time frame. And that's one of the key considerations when working through what you need is, how long do I need the benefit? How old am I? And what do I need to be able to replace and for how long? Because one of the key characteristics that we'll touch on in a sec is the benefit period. Now,
right.
It could be 2 years, could be 5 years, could be 6 years, could be 10 years. Could be to age 60, 65 or 70. So it is something that it's not a one shoe fits all. It's very much a case by case, because everybody's situation is a little bit different and everybody's needs and expenses are a little bit different. So you can generally get cover prior to age 60. There may be one or two companies that'll let you take it out after that, but generally speaking, it gets harder to take income protection out after the age of 60.
Harder or more expensive?
A bit of both.
Yeah.
Obviously, depending on how the policy is priced, generally speaking, if you have what we call a stepped contract, the cost of your cover steps up with your age next birthday, whereas a level premium contract treats you at the age you are when you take it out, right through to age 65. And there's a cost-benefit analysis for that.
Okay. What are some of the key things that people should consider when they're reviewing their income protection?
Yeah, look, I think
reviewing means, you know, reviewing the operative word, I guess.
Yeah, look, and I think that is one of the biggest mistakes people make. They do the right thing, they be proactive, they take out some cover, but then they don't actually get round to looking at it, because it's on that list of things I've got to do that you never get to, because you're too busy doing other stuff. So the key things when you're looking at what you have or what you need, obviously the waiting period. Now, the waiting period is a time frame that you select for when you want your payments to start. So, for example, if I came off my bike again and I did an even better job of what I've done and I couldn't work for... it might be. If, let's say, I'd come off my bike and I couldn't work for 3 months because I'd been confined to a bed, I can choose, depending on my situation, to have my policy start to pay me after 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and even in some instances, 6 months. So your waiting period is directly tied to your current situation and your access to funds, sick leave and annual leave, and things that you accrue with your employer. So that's where people should start and say, well, what do I need? As opposed to what do my mates have? The second thing they can think about is what we touched on before in the benefit period.
Yes.
How long do I need to get paid? If you're working on a contract basis, you may need a shorter benefit period. If you're 42 years of old and say, well, I'm probably going to work till I'm 65 or 70, cover me to age 65, because if my choice to work is taken from me, whether it's my fault or not, I've lost that potential earning capacity or revenue that I would have otherwise received. So having a benefit period that is appropriate to your situation is really important. Then people should think about, well, how much? Or the monthly amount that I'd like to get. And as we said before, 75% of your gross earnings, and when I say gross earnings, salary and super from a package perspective can be considered. The easiest way to work that one out, if you're not sure, is take your gross remuneration package, divide it by 16, and that will give you a very close number to what you can receive on a monthly basis. So if you earned $100,000, you divide that by 16, you get $6,250. So it's a quick way for people to work out what they could get in the event of a claim. Then the next thing they need to think about is obviously the structure. Now, there are two key structures, and this also then ties into the pricing. You can have an agreed value policy that is financially endorsed or proven when you take it out. And to do that, you provide some tax returns and you say, hey, I'm Billy the Builder, and here's what I earned in the last 2 years, and the insurance company will agree to cover you for that amount of money. Now, if Billy's self-employed, that's really important, because his wages could go up, down, or all around,
that's
depending
right.
on what he's doing.
Yeah, fluctuating, and no usual to do when you're in that sort of situation.
Yes, look, exactly. So, you know, an agreed value policy is great for contractors and self-employed people for the security of knowing you're covered. The other way that a contract is structured is an indemnity policy, which says, what did I earn 12 to 24 months prior to claim? Mm-hmm. So this is less secure, but it's generally 20 to 25% cheaper than agreed value. So a great way of looking at an indemnity contract would be, if you were a salaried employee, your wages don't fluctuate, and you know that your income is going to remain fairly similar from year to year, you know that an indemnity contract may be appropriate for you, because you don't have that potential swing. Right. So it's a good way to price it, it's a good way to structure it. And then the last thing I'd have people think about is, where are you gonna hold it? Last week we talked about super linking, holding it inside of superannuation, holding it inside and outside of super or splitting it. My view generally is, if you can afford to have it in your own name, you maximise the tax efficiency and you get the best suite of benefits. And this is one thing that I find people overlook when they're comparing things. You can hold income protection in your own name and you can hold income protection through super. The significant difference between the two is what you can claim on.
Okay.
Okay, yep. So for example...
But you can't claim on the super, can you?
Well, it comes down to what the benefit is. So I'll give you a quick example. Sure. I launch myself into a tree, and let's say I break my collarbone, okay? Under a good income protection policy in your own name, you would be paid what they call a specified injury benefit for a specific break. Now, that could be for a collarbone, 1 month's benefit without having a day off work. Now, if we think about that, that is paid to you because you own the policy.
Right.
A superannuation contract doesn't offer that type of benefit because breaking your collarbone doesn't meet the CIS regulation of accessing super. I'm 42, I can't access my super. Breaking my collarbone doesn't open up superannuation, so superannuation doesn't provide that part of a good retail policy in your own name. So, as I touched on earlier, the devil's in the detail here, and I'm all for people paying for cover that give them the greatest likelihood of getting paid with the widest range of options.
So we do have a caller, and it's Ron. No, it isn't. It's Andrew from Gungahlin. G'day, Andrew. How are you?
G'day. You even got that wrong. It's Angelo.
No, it isn't. It's Andrew. It's written up on my screen. You're definitely Andrew, and I won't hear anything else about it.
All right. I'll be Andrew for you.
Thank you. Good, mate. Away you go.
That's good. So I just caught part of the conversation about personal income protection. And,
yes.
And look, I think it's fantastic, but I'm in a bit of a situation now when I signed up, 6 years ago, I was paying $650 a month, and I thought, yeah, I can afford that. No problem at all. Problem is now, it's gone up to $1,225 a month, and I'm paying $14,000, $700, so I can protect myself in case I get injured outside work.
Okay, let's have a listen to what Luke has to say about that, because we are running short on time. But Luke, what do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I think, as I said before, one of those the ways that a policy is structured is a step contract where the cost of the cover goes up with age. Some of the things you could think about trying to mitigate those existing costs are looking at your benefit period or your waiting period, looking at how the contract is structured, whether you do have an agreed value or an indemnity policy, or what we touched on last week in relation to super linking as a way of managing a cash flow cost and incorporating part of the annual premium through your superannuation fund. There's not a lot you can do in relation to, obviously, getting older. We'd all love to be able to go backwards and not forwards.
But the problem is that I'm only 47, so if I'm paying, $14,700 a year, what's going to happen in 5 years' time? It's going to be 20. I mean, who can afford that kind of stuff?
Well,
I mean,
look, exactly.
My workers' comp, my public liability, I'm spending nearly $50,000 as a private business just so I can go to work.
Yeah, look, you're not alone. I think we're all in that boat, and it's one of the ongoing frustrations that, you know, we incur when we try and do the right thing and protect our cash flow. All I can say is, mate, I'm more than happy to review it for you for nothing and see if we can't find a saving for you. If you want to give me a bell on Monday or leave your number with the producer, I'm more than happy to delve into the market and see if we can't find you a premium saving.
Okay, Angela, I'll pass you back to Daniel. We'll get to your details and then maybe you two can hook you two up. Okay, moving on, when you're working out what someone needs to need, what should they consider before they proceed?
Well, look, I think it's perfect in relation to what Angelo's just said.
Mm.
You know, I think some of the variables that we need to think about is we need to review what you have. You need to review your waiting period. You need to review, you know, the type of cover and the structure. You need to review your inclusions. You know, these are all things that are ways that you can try and mitigate or ensure that you have an appropriate amount of cover, because your situation changes, your age changes, your income changes. Do you have indexation or do you not?
Yeah.
Do you need the sum insured that you have at the moment? So there are many, many, many ways to try and, I guess, understand what you need in a changing environment. And I think Angelo's hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
You know, people are always getting older and premiums are going up. And we have seen an instance in the industry of an increase in claims for a range of different things. And it is something that we need to be mindful of. And that's why I say to people most weeks with just about all the things we talk about, you've got to look under the hood. You've got to keep checking. You've got to keep pricing. You've got to keep reviewing. And you've got to make sure that, you know, what you have stays in line with your why. Because your why is always changing. So, you know, I think they're all things that people need to worry about. But they're the biggest things. Make sure you have it in the right structure. Make sure your sum insured is the same. Make sure you understand what your existing commitments are. And make sure that you have a policy that is appropriate for your time frame.
because they're the things that you'll be able to control.
Okay. So where do you see people costing themselves money or missing out on payments when it comes to income protection? Where are the big traps?
Well, look, I think some of the biggest mistakes or opportunities we see missed are people are generally grossly underinsured. They've taken a policy out at a period in time and they've just always paid it and kept it, and their income may have increased through 3 or 4 or 5 promotions over a period of time, and they actually don't have a policy that's in line with their earnings. That's where we see a lot of people miss out on the value of a claim. Obviously, the waiting period, maybe they've started in a new job and had a 30-day wait, but now they've accrued money in their offset account, they've accumulated leave, and they could probably push the waiting period out to 90 days. So they're paying more than they need to because they haven't reviewed their own situation. That's another place where we see opportunities missed. We touched last week on superlinking, you know, a great strategy from a cash flow perspective, and, you know, something that doesn't reduce the total cost but can make a significant difference in your cash flow. As Angelo said, you know, I'm working hard, I'm doing the right thing,
yeah,
I've got business costs.
Costing him a purpose.
Yeah, and look, that's also, depending on what Angelo does,
yeah,
it could also be directly related to his occupation. Because income protection is one of the insurance policies that you can maintain that is occupationally based. So what I mean by that is a radio host may have less chance of hurting themselves than a bricklayer. Because it is tied to the daily duties that you undertake and priced accordingly.
It's only our feelings that do get fatally hurt.
Everybody has emotions. And the last thing I'd say is make sure you understand what you're covered for. Superannuation policies are generally inferior to a good personal contract, and the options that are available to you to be able to claim on are far inferior than a policy held in your own name. So I stress to people, look at what you've got, check out your situation. If people want to come in and have a chat about their why and see if there is an opportunity to save a premium like Angelo, we'll offer a free review for anybody to bring in their cover so that we can run some analytics on it, take it to market, see if we can find them a saving and put them in a better position. If what they have is great, then I'm more than happy for them to keep that and carry on. But I'd never want people to leave my office and go, what if?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what if people want to get in touch with you? How do they do it?
Yeah, look, there's many things they can do. That they can give us a call in the office on 02-6260-4749. They can reach us at www.envisionfinancial.com.au. We offer access to the Knowledge Centre through our Resources tab on the website, and that has a lot of specific information in relation to all the things we've talked about today. Obviously, they can go to Google on Apple, search the Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money, where we show the show, and obviously YouTube at Envision Financial Canberra, where they can take the education pieces out of this.
Good on you, Luke. Good to see you, and you'll be back with Richard next week. Thanks so much for today.
Beautiful. See you later.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial.